did. I made it work. Hey, everybody. Welcome to I'm Actually Comics. I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And it is the week of April 10th.
Damn.
And we're going to be talking about some books. There's a bunch of cool stuff that came out.
So many things.
So, so we'll just get to it.
I put good stuff on top.
I appreciate that.
Instead of we're like talk for an hour and then it's like, here's our favorite book of the week.
Yeah.
It's number 15th that we talked about.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I front loaded today.
Perfect.
We front loaded.
I love it. Okay. So to that end.
Yes.
I love this book.
That's why I put it first.
Yeah. So Web of Venom, Cult of Carnage. This is a strange one. This really piles in all the weirdness and all the awesome shit that you want out of a Carnage or Venom or, you know, symbiote-based 90s comic with some big horror and some just nutso characters. It's like starting out with a team-up of Misty Knight and Man-Wolf.
John Jameson, the Man-Wolf. I felt like it was an episode of Boris Karloff's Thriller.
Yeah.
Told through the vein of the horror side of the Marvel Universe. I thought it was very strong, nice, done in one, beginning, middle, and end. What's going on? It's some kind of cult. They love the death and carnage.
They
and
love
also
Null.
Carnage. Null.
Yes, they are.
KK
they're,
Null from the band Zenigiva.
They're worshipping Null, the symbiote god. And they're ripping out people's spines.
They sure are. Dead people's spines, too. It's weird.
Yeah, it's a real weird one.
It's a weird cult.
Yeah. But fun, I would join.
Yes, I would probably not. But
10-10 would join.
My spine would join.
Exactly. War of the Realms, Journey into Mystery.
It's a ragtag group of heroes on a quest, a journey. A journey into mystery, some may say.
Yes, you got
Did you
Kate,
like that?
Kate Bishop.
I felt like you liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, for one of these tie-ins, it's great.
It's a first tie-in to War of the Realms. It's Miles Morales and Kate Bishop and Dr. Drew Id. that was our funny joke from
that's
the store.
Perfect.
Dr. Drew Id. And
and
a couple other. Wonder Man, I think.
It's a real ragtag group of goofballs. Goofballs. The art is great.
It's
really cool. This is my favorite book of the week, I think.
Now I have to preface this with this is my favorite book currently, so I haven't read it because you told me it made you cry, and I didn't want to experience that in a rushed fashion. I did not read it. But
it
I know I will love
gave
it.
Me the gave me the feels.
We didn't talk about what it is though.
It is Wonder Twins number 3.
Damn.
The funniest book going, and also in this issue, like had a real like the tragic story of Gleek in the circus and him being accepted by his name?
Zan and Jaina.
So Zan is like spoiling him and taking really good care of him. And then they get kidnapped and he has to go rescue them. And it's like, it's heartbreaking, but it's amazing.
I can't wait to read it. I love Wonder Twins. I love Mark Russell. I love, who's the artist? David Byrne.
John Byrne.
Stephen Byrne, I think.
Sure, why not?
Guy. Anyway, it's great. It's great. It's
Sorry
great,
about
great,
my sniffling.
Great.
I apologize.
Definitely get into the Wonder Twins. Also, the latest installment of the wacky, fun Wonder Woman Giganta team-up series that's going on right now that I'm absolutely super enamored with. Wonder Woman number 68. It's Wonder Woman. It's Giganta. They are fighting Titans with the aid of some Minotaur and Goat People and other ragtag groups of mythological creatures, and I really love it. G. Willow Wilson is really killing
it. And who is this new character, and who is she going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a new character introduced in the last issue.
In the last issue, this new character shows up. She finds a sword, and she's like, look, I got this magic sword. So you know something's going to happen with her eventually.
That's what they say about magic swords.
And something
happen.
Continues to happen here, so... Clearly, they have some sort of plan for her in the future.
Yeah, I really like I like this current series, and I really like it when Carrie Nord is the artist. I love the kind of just like free-flowing, fun, just great. It's just great art. It's cool. Story's good.
Yeah,
art's good. I think there's a little fill-in artist going on in this, but it's still good. Murder Falcon.
Murder Falcon with the great Holy Diver tribute cover.
Ah, oh, I couldn't nail it. It is Holy Diver, isn't it?
It is.
What a bonehead I am.
This book continues to be phenomenal. Continues to be
Actually, I didn't even look at this.
Crazy and weird. And now it's got... It's the kind of book that was like... You thought was going to just be nonsense, and then it turns out to have heart to it as well.
Yeah.
And it has like a real motivation and more than just crazy nonsense. And it's really fun.
Oh, wow. Holy crap. I didn't even look, cause I love Murder Falcon. So this is another one where like, I didn't, you know, and yeah. I don't even know why I didn't flip through this, but holy shit, this is crazy.
Yeah. The stuff happens.
I love Daniel Warren Johnson. He's really great.
He is.
That's a good book. This is number seven.
Number seven.
New arc.
Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, speaking of new arcs.
Speaking of done in one, heartwarming,
heart-tugging.
Yeah. So this is the issue where Aunt May tells Peter that she has cancer. And spoiler, if you haven't been reading the series, but that happened like 4 or 5 issues ago. So I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything. Anyway,
nope.
I really liked it. I thought the... I hadn't loved this series before. I thought this was the best issue yet, but I like these kind of things where it's like, you know, here's a serious subject and someone treats it seriously. And Tom Taylor's a great writer and he handled it well. And the art was good. And it was good.
Yeah. It's great.
So next up is a book that I'm going to talk about this just a little bit. I discovered this is Detective Comics 1001. It's already out. I think 1000 just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Something like that.
This is a new story arc and a new artist who alternating arcs. This guy is named Brad Walker, who you may be familiar with. He's great. I started following him on Twitter today. I highly recommend that you go and find. I think it's just I am Brad Walker or something like that. But go on Twitter and read. He did these multi-part thread tweets about. One is just about the different logos that Detective Comics has had since the beginning. And the other one is just kind of like about why he's excited to be a Batman artist. If you want to get hyped up for reading this comic, a Batman comic, read those tweets. I got like super jazzed. I was like, I can't wait to read this. And it was really good. Some strange classic rock puns that I wasn't quite prepared for. But other than that, this is the Arkham Knight, which I guess is a character from a video game that's now in the comic. This is what I want way more than what's going on in the other Batman books. It is Detective Comics. He's got to figure some stuff out. Well, there's a weird mystery involving lots of dead bats.
Well, I'm going to skip ahead then because I will say that as much as I thought that that was a decent issue, I'm super into what's going on in Batman right now. I don't know where this came from. I don't know where
it's part of that series where he's dreaming. He's dreaming. Every issue is like he's dreaming, and this is another one where he's dreaming.
I thought that that was already resolved.
No, look to the last page.
What? Oh, God damn it. Again?
Again, yes.
Again?
Again. The entire issue is drawn by Amanda Connor. It's fun. It's Lois Lane and Catwoman having like this, like they get hammered and talk in this, and then break into the Fortress of Solitude, and then also Superman. It's like it felt like it was like a story that should have happened before the wedding came out, and
yes.
I think that's what it's supposed to be. It's got great Amanda Connor art. And it was fun, and I really do like that aspect of this current arc where each issue
God
is like
it.
A single thing, but this is not continuity anything. It's
literally read like 3/4 of the way through. I was like, I actually like was going and I just didn't even get to the last page for some reason.
You're down with it.
In
but
fact,
it's just,
I think I literally read, no, I did. I read and I skipped the last page.
Yeah. I mean, it's I'm sorry to give it away, but like this entire arc, every issue of this arc has been Batman having a different dream.
Good
and
God.
It's called Nightmares.
Why?
With a K. And Detective Comics number 1001 was awesome. is my takeaway for
I
Batman
mean,
number
but
68.
Again,
but the art
this,
was good.
But
And fun.
Okay,
it was fun. It was fun
here's
issue.
Here's the
yeah.
thing is that this issue is fun and it is a great issue. So by itself, this is a great comic.
Yeah.
If the
Batman series was normally like
and
that, you'd be
exactly,
like super into it.
I would be super into this being the tone of the book because it was fun, it was funny, it was cute, it was all these things.
Yeah.
But I mean, it also was not much of a Batman comic. It was
no, it's very much a Catwoman comic.
It was a Catwoman comic, and it reminded me of that date night thing. It was very much like that.
I think, yeah, and it was probably meant to throw back to that. I mean, I knew something was up because of just like knowing the narrative of the current arc, and then also just the fact that it was like they were getting married, and I was like, wait, they didn't get married. But anyway, I don't know what happened in that comic you're holding.
Well, this is the Marvelous X-Men. This is where
they're fights. Marvelous. These X-Men are marvelous. Absolutely marvelous.
Yeah, this version of X-Man where he looks just like Jesus is a little on the nose.
Yeah. I feel like X-Men, Age of X-Man is wearing thin at this point. I think it's time
especially
to...
considering... Uncanny
is so good.
Just like, oh, fuck all this dumb stuff that's going on in this big crossover. We're just going to talk about stuff on Earth with these characters that you actually give a shit about. And I'm really stoked about every issue of that. The last issue of so Uncanny was one of the best X comics I've read in for fucking ever.
Yeah.
And then there's
just
this
like
thing.
A huge like game changer for like major character changes and
great
cool
stuff.
Gravity. Like just... but yeah, this X-Man thing, as far as I'm concerned, the best thing about it at this point is that it's allowing those other comics
exactly
from any X-Men to happen.
Exactly. It's freeing them up to do other stuff. X-23 continues to be
looks
a great
good.
Book.
I flipped, but it looks great.
Yeah, this is a big knockdown drag out between X-23 and Honey Badger. And again,
why are they fighting? They're sisters.
You know? They got into a tiff, and she and Jonathan are running away from home.
Man, I really hope it's not about a boy.
It's not.
That's good.
It's about a badger.
It's about a badger, an actual badger.
Nice. This is the story of a badger.
This is the story of a badger.
So finally, we get in Captain Marvel number 4.
This is not the last comic we're going to talk about.
But no, but this is finally for like. Modern sensibilities. I know there has been one of these before, but it's nice to see a nice confrontation between Captain Marvel and Rogue.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, which it's kind of oddly important for me because I'm glad that they are establishing that there is this history and continuity and that they're not just bulldozing over it. Because I love the Rogue story as being stolen powers from Captain Marvel. That I think that's super cool. And so that is no longer, you know, like it seemed like that had been kind of like, nah, it didn't really happen.
Yeah. This gives it a little bit of a spin, too, for fans of Captain Marvel as well. This is a post-apocalyptic nightmare world that Captain Marvel and other superheroes are trapped in and Rogue and fighting and things.
Yeah. And it's fun.
Yeah. It's good. Number 4.
Batman Who Laughs, number 4.
Batman Who Laughs, number 4.
Makes the
most sense of any comic I've ever read. It's definitely super clear. I understand it, and I totally know why DC is putting all of their marketing might behind it because it makes so much. It's so wonderful. Please just stop making comics because the best one has already come out.
Okay, so you don't like it, but I will tell you one thing. If you were curious about why Pointy Face has a pointy thing and he uses it and so that he can see through it, this tells you why he can see through it.
It does it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it says if you want to know magic. How a guy can see through pointy spike iron spikes, then this is the comic for you.
Yep. Avengers.
Yes.
They ain't got no road home.
They ain't. This is a very Mark Wadian issue. If you followed Mark Waid for a bunch of years, you know that his stories kind of, and I know he's only one of the storytellers on it, but his stories kind of have like a penultimate thing that occurs, and this is very much that penultimate thing. I think it's a pretty strong series. I think it'll read great as a trade. Avengers No Road Home. It's Rocket and Vision and Scarlet Witch and Hercules and... Spectrum, who is to me the actual Captain Marvel, but you know,
yes,
that's me. She was the first Captain Marvel I cared about.
Nice. So X-Force.
X-Force. I forgot to read.
Yeah, this it's actually pretty cool.
Nice.
It's
got Strife on the cover.
It's full of Strife. It is a Strife issue.
I'm flipping.
And it's full of Hounds and Ahab and all those characters. It's interesting. It definitely feels like a good 90s comic. And that's about all I got. Is it just feels like a good 90s comic.
It sure does. Well, it has the X-Men as Hounds, which I've never been a huge fan of as a thing. But in general, it's a thing that occurs with these characters, and it's tells you about Strife.
Yep.
Princess Leia, this is called Star Wars Age of Rebellion, Princess Leia. Sometimes these in-movie continuity comics just, like, totally kill, and this one did. I really liked it. It's set directly after Han Solo is frozen and before they get to Jabba. So it, like, fills a very specific role. It tells a story that makes sense to be told within that frame. And the art was really cool. Chris Sprouse did the art. That guy's awesome. If you ever read, Tom Strong or, like, Supreme when Alan Moore, like, that guy. It's that guy. He's great, you know? And so it's got, like, its own artistic style, but also, you know, you clearly know who the characters are. It's Lando, it's Chewie, it's Leia, it's Bosk. I'm actually a huge Bosk fan, so maybe that...
I can't blame you.
Bosk is awesome.
He was the best action figure.
Oh, man, definitely, with his weird long arms.
Yeah.
I love that he had those weird long arms. Bosk was a huge favorite of mine, and he didn't get to shine in the movies, so he gets a chance to shine here. Also, another Age of Rebellion Star Wars called Grand Moff Tarkin came out.
So,
not as good.
Let me just tell you, if you've ever wanted an issue of a Star Wars comic where Peter Cushing gets shirtless and fucking straight up MMA fights somebody... Like 75-year-old, like 25-pound Peter Cushing in the movies. He's jacked in this comic.
He is super jacked. He has this weird chest scar, too.
Covered in scars, and he's like, fuck you, kid. It's time for me to show you who's boss. And he just beats the shit out of somebody.
Man, that's funny. So, yeah, I guess it's like if you wondered why.
Hilarious.
He really... Well, it's set... Oh no!
No,
he's
it's
old.
Not. No, it's set during the first movie.
What? This is bizarre.
It is super bizarre.
This is, and it looks really like super rendered, like Peter Cushing too. I think honestly, like I regret this not being a stronger pick.
No, you should. Everybody needs to read this.
Zowie. That is.
It's like if they made like a romance comic with Jabba the Hutt, or if like. Of all the things that you expect to see out of Peter Cushing, street fighting is not one of them.
Oh, man, I love when he takes off his Grand Moff Tarkin robes and then or uniform and then puts on his low-necked like night shirt.
Gets super sexy right at the end.
Wow, this is a Peter Cushing fan fiction for the...
Little for the something for the 150-year-old ladies.
Yeah.
Wowie,
I didn't give that much. I didn't give that as much attention as it deserved. As it clearly deserved.
Everyone should give that a look. So symbiote Spider-Man number one.
Yeah,
he's a symbiote. He's a Spider-Man.
He's a Spider-Man with a symbiote.
Sure.
It's written by Peter David. It's set during the time when Venom was not Venom but was a suit. I'm not sure why it's coming out, but it's not bad.
No, it's a great comic. It's just Again, I don't really understand what the purpose of it is.
And the purpose is that Marvel needs to put out a lot of comic books.
They do. I think it's almost as though when DC said, we're going to cut down to 22 titles, Marvel said, well, then
we're going to cut up.
We're going to go to 122. Fuck yeah. You guys.
Yeah, I don't know what DC's problem is, but we're going to put out a lot more books. Everybody's made money, right?
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
All our fans are rich. They can go to Disney World.
Ooh.
Amazing Spider-Man number 19, Hunted part something, was good.
Yeah.
It's as good as a chapter of an overall story is going to be. It's not necessarily like a huge gravity like this, you know, but it's like part of a bigger part of a story, telling
it
a story.
It is.
Good.
I feel like this was more important to the story than the other ones.
Cool.
For the Hunted,
I did like that they spent like a full panel explaining that Dot Who issue where the Gibbon died.
Oh,
poor Gibbon.
Very sad.
Sorry about that if you haven't read Dot Who yet.
Dot Gibbon.
Dr. Dot Who.
Yeah, this was I loved it, and I love
yeah, it's
the art.
Good, it's a good storyline, I mean, I guess. If you know, I saw an aerial photo of Central Park the other day. That would be a weird place to be trapped and surrounded by animal themed supervillains. I will say that.
I actually thought that.
I feel like
almost any place would be weird.
That's where Spider-Man's trapped.
Oh man.
That's
you
my
know
brain.
What? I love Sandoval. Yeah. I'll say it. One of my favorite like superhero artists.
Sandoval.
Does he have a
first name or is he just Sandoval?
I think he's Gerardo Sandoval.
Gerardo.
Gerardo. So
is he Rico,
Gerardo?
Is he Rico
Gerardo?
Suave?
I mean probably.
Sorry.
I mean, his art is like, it's the perfect combination of all of those other guys that did that anime style back in the early 2000s.
Like, Humberto Ramos.
Right, a little
kind of
Humberto
feel.
Ramos thing, but it's like, it's more, Humberto. I don't know, it's more defined.
Hmm.
It's less distended, but like there's a big splash, which is a spoiler.
Like his
for the
like
next
really
issue.
Weird,
yeah,
pointy chin.
There's something about what he's doing that is like, exactly where I wanted that 90s style art to go. Like it feels like the really best evolution of that style, but I just haven't seen anyone else doing it, and I love it when he does it. That's what I have to say about that.
Good stuff.
Good
now
stuff.
We have
Red Hood
Outlaw. He is taking over the Gotham
God
underworld.
I gotta stop sniffling into the
stop
mic. I'm it. So sorry everyone.
Stop that. Red Hood is taking over the Gotham underworld.
He is.
I think this series is probably much better than anyone is giving it credit for. It has really good art from Pete Woods.
I would say that as far as the store goes, the numbers on Red Hood keep going up.
Yeah.
Like we were selling out for a while and then we had to up the numbers and we keep kind of consistently upping the numbers.
Well, you hear it here. Get your copies of Red Hood.
Got more subscribers to it than we've had for a very, very long time. So
yeah, I mean, it seems like it has a clear vision and it's nice when someone you can tell is just kind of, you know, oh, we don't, this sells enough so we don't care, but like not enough that we're going to tell you what to do. So he's
those
kind
are
of
always
like,
my favorite books.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like it's set in the overall universe, but it has a kind of a clear creative vision. Cully Hamner did the cover, great cover. I don't know, it was cool. I brought it, you know. I discovered a character from the Power Rangers in the Power Rangers comic that I think is amazing and apparently is just part of Power Rangers and I never knew. They get orders from some kind of weird lizard in a tin can.
I don't know if that's actually Alpha 5 or if that's some other.
It was Alpha 5.
I don't know who it is.
No, I don't know. I tried. I actually looked through to see if they named him at any point. And
I think he might be a different version of Alpha 5. But this book is actually very well illustrated and really well written.
I love the cover.
Really
so Go-Go Power Rangers number 19 from Boom Studios is. I just think it's a well produced comic. It's got good art. It's got a story where Power Rangers do Power Rangers thing. There's also a weird lizard in a tin can. I dug it.
All right. Did you guys miss out on?
Oh, that's not new, is it?
On Little Bird number one or chapter one. If you did, we have second printings in finally, and they are awesome.
Yeah, that Little book, Bird was great.
Holy crap, that book is good.
Yeah, and the opposite of that book is...
I don't even know why I have this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to anybody that I'm offending, but so Kiss the End from Dynamite. Nobody expects a Kiss book to be very good.
Huh.
They have, I mean, since the Psycho Circus ones were fun back in the day.
I will say this issue was a lot clearer than... I haven't read a lot of Kiss books.
I will say this is concise, but it's so concise as to be... almost lacking anything of any interest. It's such a linear plot.
My take on it is that there is the people who read the Kiss comics know the actual history of Kiss, the band, very well.
Of course.
And given that, this comic makes a lot of sense to them. It might be what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
So a guy dies. He goes to hell. And then a demon says, I really want you to kill Kiss. And I think you're the perfect man for the job. And it's not explained why he's the perfect man for the job, but off he goes.
Yes.
I think I just spoiled the entire comic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's difficult to say anything about this comic without spoiling it because it's literally...
That's entirely what happens in the comic. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry if you
It feels like it's about five pages long.
Yeah.
Anyway, Justice League Odyssey.
Yeah,
we've got.
I feel like this is going to get canceled soon.
Yes, we've got a bunch of confusing stuff happening.
They're in space.
They're in space. Every third page is like superheroes in the air about to attack something.
Yeah. Well, here's a thing that I thought of. So with Batman Detective Comics, they have the Arkham Knight. Does he have the same origin as Azrael? It's like a religious order that has a knight that goes and has to fight Batman.
I've got to say, so yes, that feels very much like...
Azrael is in the Justice League comic, which is why I thought of it.
Right. That's what I keep thinking, is that the Arkham Knight is just like an exact direct knockoff of Azrael. And also, the other thing I keep thinking is that when they were writing Justice League Odyssey... The writer was thinking of Zor-El and was not thinking of Azrael when he was writing it. He's like, you know, he's like an angel. And he's like,
Zor-El. Yeah.
It's like, I think maybe you've got the characters mixed up, but maybe not.
I do kind of like the costume he's got.
Yeah. I think it's a cool redesign. I mean, I just don't think there's any reason for Azrael to be in a space comic, but Zor-El, that kind of makes sense.
That would make sense.
Like, for him to be a crazy space angel, I'd be like, all right, I get you.
Space angel.
But that said,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to Sean's reboot of Azrael for White Knight.
Yeah, definitely.
That looks really good.
So. Cool. Let's talk briefly about James Bond Origin number 8, which came out.
Okay.
And looks okay.
That's very brief.
Yeah. This one, actually, I read fairly in-depth. I got super into Invaders number 5. Number 5.
Hmm.
Number 5?
This is number 4.
4.
Sorry.
Invaders number 4. Sorry, it's not a month from now. I read it. It's a Submariner focused issue. It does like a kind of a continuity thing where it kind of explains where Submariner was and how that led him. It guest stars Professor X in a significant, and it also ties into his early appearances in Fantastic Four and some of the World War II stuff. And I was interested. It was I thought it was a well produced comic. Well done. Well done with Invaders, because I can't think of another series of the Invaders where I gave the remotest of shits about it.
Fair enough.
Incredibles
2 is a book.
It is a book. I read it. It's okay. I don't understand why it's Incredibles 2 and not Incredibles. But other than that, it was fun. If you like The Incredibles, here's a comic starring them.
I think it's just that they needed to tie it into the movie that was coming out.
The most recent movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
When the first issue came out.
Gotcha.
That is the first issue.
Weird. Yeah, it's the first issue
then
of this comic.
I can't explain it.
Secret Identities, it's called, and it is Incredibles. It's most Incredibles.
Yes, and the opposite of that is a book called Faithless.
Did you read it?
Out. I did, okay. From Boom Studios. It is a sexy, supernaturally horror-y kind of thing with... lots of gay sex and
it's like
some weird stuff. It's like
if Harry Potter. No, it's not. It actually has absolutely nothing to do with Harry Potter. I'm sorry. It's
okay.
Faithless is basically like a sexy witch magic comic with the kind of dialogue that Brian Azzarello does, where like, I don't know, it's like a thing. Someday I'm going to put my finger on it. Like, he has this writing thing that he does with dialogue where he'll, like, someone will say something and then someone else will say something with the same words right after it that's, like, puts a spin on it.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he does that in, like, every book, and he definitely does it in this one. And also a guy jumps off a building and dies.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff in here.
It was bad.
I thought it was cool.
Art was good. Paul Pope did the cover.
It's basically just risque. To say that it's like an erotic comic, I think might be pushing it a little bit.
Well, that's what they say it is.
They
say it's an erotic depiction of faith, sex, and the devil in the tradition of the divine comedy.
I don't know.
That's from the cover.
That's bullshit is what that is. That is Oh, God, the balls to compare yourself to the Divine Comedy. By the way, yeah, you know me. I'm kind of like Dante Alighieri over here. You know, I wrote this thing, and I was like, hey, look, I got Circles of Hell, and there's like two chicks going at it. fucking Dante.
I really love this.
That's my Brian Azzarello impersonation,
by the way. That's good. Hey, my last name starts with A. His last name starts with A. Hey. I write, he wrote. What else do you want? I like it.
Oh yeah, that's pretty much it. But either way, it is pretty good. The art is cool, and it's fun. Whatever.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was not.
I'm lesbian sexing over here.
Hey, what's it for? How do you improve this Divine Comedy? I get some chick on chick action.
I wish that was literally his pitch. He was like, I'm gonna try to retell Bible stories, but there's gonna be lots of hot sexy.
Actually, we should probably do the entire podcast with you doing that voice.
That pitch is going to be gold. The Flash is.
The Flash off a building. The Flash is weird. Did you read the last page of The Flash?
I actually didn't read it at all.
Look at the last page of that.
I shall.
That is not. It's not the first time a similar thing has happened to The Flash, but it's kind of fucked up. It's kind of fucked up. I challenge listeners to just pick up The Flash, and if it's not a series that you read, just look at the last page. It's some kooky ass shit going on in the last page of The Flash.
Oh my God, I think that rules.
It does. It really does kind of rule.
You would not see that in the Silver Age.
No, but there was one with Wally West where a sort of a similar thing happened. Except for, I don't want to say how similar it was because that would give away what the thing is that happens on the last page of this comic. But I do really like his face.
I love his joke.
And then he's like,
it's all good. It's all good.
But there's no, you know, it's completely.
He hasn't hurt anybody.
I'm going to talk about Fair Lady, number one. I should have talked about this sooner because I actually thought this was a really, really cool book. Image number one contains a complete Fair Lady mystery. So it is a mystery comic. I kind of stopped reading it halfway because it did say it was a complete mystery. So I can't say how I feel about how successful they are, but the fact that they tried to do it alone is worthwhile to me. I love mystery comics, but this is a fantasy comic too. It's set in a place called the Feld, which is basically like if Galactus died and then like a city formed in his bones. Is that
pretty cool?
Yeah, kinda, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty much, yeah, like an Eternal.
Yeah, so it's like a Lord of the Rings-y kind of thing with a little science fiction-y kind of thing, a little Jack Kirby kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's this really cool thing where it's like the mystery, like they show this spread of like where the crime was, and then like they dissect all of the different evidence that's in the room, and it's really cool. It's well drawn. And then the main character is she's got a cat man companion. And I don't know. I read fully half of this comic and was intrigued enough that it was a I'm bringing it home book. When comics go on sale, I will bring it home. Definitely cool.
Okay. So, Alien Resistance.
Mm.
Aliens Resistance. I apologize.
Brian Wood.
Number three.
With the Aliens franchise. Yeah, that was a really good book.
This is great. I'm not a huge fan of this art. Not going to lie.
I liked it fine.
Not really my thing. It's a little too on the nose digitally. Like, it just feels like somebody
so
using.
You don't like the coloring.
No. I think it's the inking that's the problem for me, where it's like it's that thing where somebody uses all the same brush for everything, and so everything just gets that digital thing to it.
Yeah, I might like it better.
Every single stroke is exactly the same.
Yeah, if it was less like that, I can see that criticism. I think the art is okay. This is like a descendant of Ripley. And she's teamed up with another mercenary type.
Yeah, I still don't know if that's her daughter or not. From between,
yeah,
I
don't know either.
I haven't paid enough attention. But
it says Amanda Ripley and Zula Hendricks survive a harrowing.
But I'm
descent.
Pretty sure Amanda Ripley was Ripley's daughter.
Okay.
In Aliens, but
they've crash landed onto a moon where the bad corporation is doing weird experiments on the aliens, using the aliens on the natives of the moon, and. I thought it was really good. That's really good. I like everything Brian Wood is doing with the Aliens comics.
Sweet.
And all of his like movie adaption stuff that he's doing, I think that it's, if he could do them all, that'd be great.
They've all been really
good. RoboCop was great. And
I think he did a Terminator as well.
His Terminator was really good, although I didn't complete the series.
I didn't either, and I feel like I should have.
But I really liked the first one. Although it was the Terminator one was a little on the nose, where it was like, okay, this is just like exactly like the movie, but with different characters.
Yes.
Whereas the RoboCop was just like, this is like the world of RoboCop, and this is the world of Aliens. And I think that is more to my liking. Are you looking at Belit?
I am indeed.
Belit was good. I'm glad they got rid of the weird cover style of the last one. I mean, it's a little bit still there,
but it's the same artist. It's the same woman who did Monstrous, but it's not it's not an overtly sexy cover. It's more of an action cover.
Yeah, I like that better.
Which is cool because I've also kind of never seen her do anything that wasn't kind of just a sexy cover. Hmm. And so this is a cool little thing that she did.
I think it was a very strong issue. I liked the second issue better than the first.
Little thing. She is ridiculously talented. She's one of my favorite artists. Absolutely.
The cover artist or the interior artist?
Yes, the cover artist. Yeah. The interior artist.
I like the interior art on this a lot. I like it a lot. Really good.
It's
Kate Nimkes. I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry. But she's great. And who's the writer? Trini?
It's Teeny Howard.
Teeny Howard.
It's our friend Teeny Howard.
Teeny Howard.
And
I don't know. Not my friend.
Sorry. And Senna Takeda is the cover artist.
Okay.
Who I assume is the same artist from Monstrous.
Oh, yeah. It looks like similar. This is a pirate, you know, set in the world of Conan with Belit the pirate. Queen, goddess. It was badass. I really liked it. It was good. There's a new Savage Sword of Conan because I think there needs to be a comic of Conan at least every 3 days coming out.
There does.
So this one, I think even the Alex Ross cover is just like, here's a bunch of Conan covers because I am tapped for ideas of Conan covers. I'm just going to show a bunch of pictures of old Conan covers with a pinup of Conan in front of it.
Yeah, that is what happens.
I think they are oversaturating the market a little bit with Conan because Conan is also in that Avengers comic. I could use
There's going to be the Savage Avengers, which is going to have him in it.
Yes. I mean, I'm fine with that. I actually really like him in that.
That
Avengers
I'm really
comic.
Excited about.
I just feel like there's a Conan comic, like have it come out once a month.
Yeah,
I don't need five Conan comics a month.
I feel like Conan is something that I would be totally cool with coming out once a month. But instead, it's coming out pretty much once a week.
Yeah, it's definitely coming out once a week.
Too much.
I think so. Coming out once a month is Army of Darkness, Bubba Hotep.
And
number three is
it's got an army and a Bubba.
They blow up Graceland.
Take that, Graceland.
Yeah. Suck.
Yeah. And so that's that.
That's that, except for we didn't talk about Superman number... Oh, I grabbed the variant cover. 10 is out and is kind of... It's decent. It's just like the last three issues have been one big storyline. So it's like what happened with Super Kid. Also, Squirrel Girl, War of the Realms tie-in. I didn't read it because I love Squirrel Girl and I like to read it at home. And I will say I did flip through the first couple pages and the brilliant as always.
And there's a new Squirrel Girl costume.
There is a new Squirrel Girl costume.
Which
That's
is really awesome.
It's really awesome. And then the last thing, I am sad. We saved it for last because apparently the writer is a total piece of shit and, the comic has been canceled, but Astro Hustle number 2 came out, and the artist, I look forward to the artist on this, Tom Riley, going on to much greater things because he's awesome and the art in this comic is awesome.
Yep.
And also it had the first appearance of Halloween Eagle on
which is super cool.
Halloween Eagle, but we're not going to talk about that because the same writer wrote that and he's a piece of shit.
That's such a bummer that some dumb thing happened.
Yeah, don't be an asshole,
guys.
We want to like your comics.
Please stop doing
don't
dumb
be
shit.
A big fucking asshole.
So Dark Horse has unfortunately canceled Astro Hustle because of some dumb thing that
they tried to cancel this issue, but it had already gone to press and they couldn't cancel it in time. They couldn't cancel it fast enough for number 2 to not come out. So it's out, and if you want to scan some really cool artwork, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
you know what? We've all the retailers have already paid for it, so yeah. You're not giving him any money by buying it. So
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know? I mean, I really liked Astro Hustle.
Yeah,
I thought
I agree.
It was really cool and fun. And actually, I thought the second issue was like the art was like, super cool and like. There's like penguin pirates in it.
I really liked Border Town too, and then
yeah,
it turned
Border
out
Town.
That guy
don't
was
be
a
an
crap.
Asshole. We want to like your comics.
God damn it, everybody!
Stupid jerk.
Well, listen, and so to turn this around,
yeah,
and
sorry.
End on a good note.
Yeah,
let me say
let's do it.
That there is a new White Knight statue. We have a bunch of signed White Knight statues at the store.
Whoa!
The new, it's really cool.
I saw a picture of it on Instagram.
It might actually be my favorite of this whole line because of the way that it's done.
It's part of the black and white line.
Yeah, he did a really clever thing with the cape where it's basically suspending him, so the statue is held up by the cape, so he's in the air, and
nice.
The cape is suspending him. It's really cool looking.
Yeah.
And you know, it's
check out Sean Murphy's Instagram for a picture of it.
Yeah, and Sean has done them before, but he's done I think Sean had another black and white statue prior, but this is the first one from his thing. So
nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Cool.
I'm into it.
Plus, you can get a signed one.
Exactly, and we have them signed, and I doubt anywhere else has them because
nope.
I don't think Sean's going any place to do that. Anyway,
but
I
also
guess,
you have it probably on the internet, right?
Yes, we do. We have a copy on the internet as well. So if you want to buy that one, it's up there.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, I guess that's going to be about it.
Free comic book day's coming up.
Getting
psyched.
Free comic book day is coming up.
I got a Facebook invite to it.
I've got Christian Dabari coming, who's working on my comic.
Rad Wraith.
Yes, my comic called Rad Wraith, which, so Garney, the guy who was doing Savage Sword, was supposed to do a pinup for it. We haven't heard back.
Aw.
But Tristan Jones, who was doing the Aliens comic, is going to give us a pinup for that, so that's pretty great.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. The comic is almost done.
What?
So we're launching the Kickstarter on May 1st, and there's a whole bunch of... Start kicking. Because I've been kind of like... I've been scraping through every last penny I have to basically pay for this as it goes. It's kind of pretty well done at this point. I'm just trying to get a little bit of my money back. And so really at the end of the day, what I have is a bunch of really cool rewards. I got enamel pins, I got stickers, I got all this shit. Then I was like, this would be cool. So this is just kind of a way to get it out there and do something cool with it. That's why we're kickstarting it. It's just hard to distribute a comic nationally without going through Diamond. So Kickstarter just kind of happens to be the way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's super fun. I think you're going to love it. I keep getting these pages back, and I'm just like constantly blown away by how cool Dabari's art is. And our colorist, who is now going to be one of the big up and coming colorists because he almost got snatched off by a major project right in the middle of it.
Whoa.
But he's going to finish our thing, so that's great.
Can you not say who it is?
I can't say who I can't. Oh, I can say who the colorist is. Yeah. Simon Gao.
Nice.
And he's awesome. And
is he related to Michael Gow, the guy who played Alfred in the Batman movies?
I'm going to say yes, because he's also from the UK. So
I can't remember if that was actually that guy's first name, but I do remember that the guy who played Alfred was last name Gow.
Well, that guaranteed then.
Nice.
100%
support. I'm sorry to derail.
No, but
tangents.
But that's it. Yeah. So if you have the urge to support us in that, we'd super appreciate it. And we got a Funbox Monster podcast tomorrow for the movie Spookies.
Spookies? There's multiple Spookies?
Oh, my God. See the movie. There's like 50. So many.
So many Spookies.
So many Spookies.
Ah.
Anyway.
Also, the final issue of Scooby Apocalypse came out this week.
Oh, that's right. The final issue of Scooby Apocalypse came out. And it's kind of a nice little happy ending.
Yeah, kind of. Except for somebody
dies. Except there's a couple of sad moments, but it was pretty happy.
If you like more death in your Scooby-Doo comics.
I do. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Night.